This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. And we're very welcoming to Charles Burton of the Synopsis, because Charles is our guide on Canada's polity. It's critical now because of remarks made by the sitting Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, who has been Prime Minister since 2015, I believe. Very popular, very well turned out, but his time in office has been troubled these last months and years by a declining economy following the pandemic. Personal problems, we can presume. He no longer spends time with his family and wife. He's alienated from them in some fashion. And his announcement of his intention to resign, not a surprise, but then again, it was grave the way he presented himself to the Canadian people and to the United States. There have also been remarks that are odd between the president-elect, Mr. Trump, and Justin Trudeau, the serving prime minister, about Canada's future status. But we're going to stay now to just the timeline we can expect after the prime minister's intention to resign. Charles, a very good day to you. Please help me understand what happens next and where the new election is. Good day to you.
Good day. Well, day before yesterday, the Prime Minister of Canada gave a speech from the front porch of his residence to say that he intended to resign as Prime Minister and leader of the Liberal Party when the Liberal Party chooses a new leader. And moreover, that morning, he had got permission from the Governor General, the representative of the Canadian head of state, who is King Charles III, to prorogue, in other words, suspend Parliament until March 24th, which means that Parliament will not be sitting until March 24th, and therefore there will be no means for Parliament to respond to any declarations that that President Trump may make on January 20th with regard to, say, 25% tariffs or other matters relating to, I think, his desire to merge Canada and the United States and have Canada as what he refers to as the 51st state, although he did muse that there might be two states, one conservative and one liberal, the conservative state being the western part of Canada. In any event, Parliament's been prorogued. Parliament will come back on the 24th of March, the reason being that Parliament by the 28th of March must vote money to continue the government functioning after April the 1st. Whether the Liberal Party can choose a new leader before the 24th of March is very much in question, and whether Mr. Trudeau will in fact relinquish his prime ministership at that time also remains in question. There have been precedents in the past where prime ministers have stayed on as prime minister despite their party having selected a new leader. Moreover, his father, Pierre Trudeau, announced his retirement from politics in 1979, and then Conservative government at the time fell in a vote of non-confidence. Mr. Trudeau stayed on for another 5 years. So there does seem to be a Trudeau precedent here. Canada is essentially in chaos. No functioning parliament, lame duck prime minister whose term is uncertain to end, and no assurance that there will be a replacement for him before the next election, which I think would most likely... Once Parliament comes back, there will be rapidly a vote of non-confidence if the Socialist New Democratic Party maintains its current position. And there would be an election called, and that election would take place in likely May of this year.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, what is the power of the Prime Minister during this period of prorogue? And who's running Canada?
Well, the Prime Minister does remain the head of government, but no legislative measures can be adopted. All of the bills that were currently being debated would have to be reinitiated in a new parliament, and no parliamentary committees can meet during this time. Parliament ceases to exist. So the prime minister becomes essentially a caretaker. Another wrinkle on this is if cabinet ministers, current cabinet ministers, decide to run for the Liberal Party leadership, they would presumably be required to relinquish their cabinet post or be essentially absent. I mean, for example, Mélanie Joly, the Canadian foreign minister, is likely to run for the leadership of the Liberal Party, which would mean that for about 3 months, her attention would be on campaigning and not on global affairs, including Canada's relations with the United States. So the situation is pretty bad. One of the candidates is the former governor of the Bank of Canada, who subsequently became the governor of the Bank of England, Mark Carney, who currently does not have any political role. But some people have suggested that his campaign slogan should be, "Because it's all a circus, you need a Carney."
Very nice, Charles. Can you help us quickly understand how Justin Trudeau went from his campaigning of 2015, which I've now characterized as either ingenuous or naive about leading a G7 country, to approval rating? I think they were near 60% at one point, and now they're around 16%. What explains his rise and fall in such a rapid fashion at the end, not during, at the end?
Well, I mean, his economic policies have been disastrous. You know, he promised to balance the budget by 2019 and then tried to get the finance minister, Chrystia Freeland, to make a budget statement last week that would have, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, that would have exceeded her absolute bottom line commitment to deficit from $40 billion to $60 billion. And he proposed, a rather cynical vote-gathering proposal that all Canadians earning less than $150,000 should receive a $250 check in the mail in January, plus removing the tax from, believe it or not, I think we discussed Christmas trees, junk food, and spirits that are not over 15% alcohol, so wine and beer, but not whiskey. I mean, the whole thing was ridiculous, and I think people were seeing him as having had a series of ethical lapses, misjudgments, bringing in a huge, expanding immigration into Canada enormously without provision for housing, a rampant inflation and declining living standards, plus very low rates of productivity in Canada compared to the United States. So essentially, I think the initial assessment that he was, that's what the Daily Telegraph refers to as a Nepo baby and incompetent to be the leader of a G7 country, has proven to be only too true at the end of his time. And he did not know when it was time to leave. He was convinced that he could win a fourth term in office, which, you know, is almost unprecedented in Canadian political history.
Gordon, you have a question.
So when you talk about the Conservatives, how would they govern, or have they been silent about how they would deal with Canada?
We have a couple of minutes, Charles.
You're correct. They haven't been too forthcoming about their political program. The leader gave really quite a good interview with Jordan Peterson, at which he outlined quite a strongly Conservative policy. But over the more than 100 minutes of that discussion, I noticed there wasn't a single reference to foreign policy. So we have no idea where the Conservative Party will stand on China. If Mr. Trump wants to squeeze the Canadian economy because he wants to take over Canada by, as he said, economic force, that could push Canada into the arms of China, who want Canada to assert strategic autonomy, as they put it, as opposed to being an ally of the United States, which means giving free rein to the Chinese communists to essentially co-opt Canada into their Belt and Road network.
Charles, we just have a few moments here. Justin Trudeau intends to resign, and there is a prospect of a new government in May. And this looks like clear sailing for Canada. It looks like it could find a route forward to be prosperous again. Am I exaggerating too much? Is it in the balance? Is there doubt about that?
I think that you're not exaggerating. I think there will be an abandonment of the carbon tax, the heavy tax on carbon producing industries, and there will be an end to these diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, which have been devastating to the economy by inhibiting, genuine competence and virtue to rise to the top.
Charles Burton of Synopsis, our guide on the adventure ahead of us in Canadian politics. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.